mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 25. Standing on the observation deck of the supply ship Suzuran, Captain G lowered his spyglass. Fiery script had faded from the air, yet it still burned in his mind. Truce. Injured firebenders. Children. No doubt in his mind who had blazoned it on the sky. Really, what other firebender would be on a sky bison? General Iroh. Traitor Iroh, officially. Which meant his orders were clear. As they were for any member of the armed forces. Traitors must be brought to justice, either by Agni's hand or another's. And yet, children. Captain, Lieutenant Sado gave a fidgety salute. Coal balls are hot, ready to fire. The telescope snicked together in G's hand. Douse it, and secure the trebuchets. Sir? Follow the bison, G ordered the young lieutenant. No offensive moves. The lieutenant's face fell, and he swallowed hard. Yes, sir. Shoulders slumped. He headed off to give the order. Oh, spirits, we're all gonna die. G managed not to bury his face in his hands. Misfits and screw-ups, his whole crew. That hadn't changed. Promotion or no promotion. Crew and captain, a critical part of his mind pointed out. Don't forget that. True enough, he'd done more than his share of grumbling, following Prince Zuko's orders. But the truth was, he'd never have been on the prince's ship in the first place if he'd had enough sense to keep his mouth shut around higher-ranking officers. I thought he was a reckless fool, risking all of our lives to pursue one airbending child. G shook his head, remembering the moon gone dark and a glowing thing that had smashed its way through their invasion fleet. Thank Agni they'd been near the fringe of the assault. Full steam had powered their flight, while some of the crew who'd played pie-show with the general had dropped their knees and prayed to the moon to rein in her enraged lover. Reckless, yes, G thought, recalling the angry young prince. But he wasn't a fool. Reckless and dead, as the flaming wreck of his ship had made clear. His ship. Never mind the Wani was Prince Zuko's. G had captained her for months, and seeing her broken had struck him to the heart as much as the prince's death. They hadn't deserved it, either of them. Ship and prince had survived everything the world could throw at them, only to die at the hands of honorless wharf weevil rats. And Zhao hadn't even ordered a cursory search for the perpetrators. The Fire Lord's invasion came first. How obedient of him, G smirked darkly. Why, a suspicious man might even wonder if he didn't want them to be found. Well, speaking of suspicious people, G dropped down the ladder to the main deck, walking over to a lithe figure in armor standing out of the way of the trebuchet crews, gold eyes narrowed to watch a creature out of myth fly. Lieutenant Taruko. Sir. The marine officer came to attention, granting him a brisk nod. G hid a smile. At least Taruko was here because of her attitude. Not nerves like poor Sado. I suspect we're gonna need a shore party, wherever they come down. Preferably people who can keep a cool head under fire, and not fire first.
Not firing first is almost against marine policy, sir.
She didn't smile when she said it, but her gaze held concern, not objections.
You don't think the firebenders will be the only civilians?
I don't know. G said plainly, but I suspect firing first would be unwise. He nodded towards the bison. That's General Iroh up there. Her eyes widened.
He's been proclaimed a traitor, sir. for sabotaging the invasion.
Yes, so I've heard, G said dryly. Based on past experience, though, the Avatar alone could sabotage a dozen well-laid plans.
He held up a hand before she could speak.
I believe the Dragon of the West has information on my commanding officer. Even if he did not, he may be a traitor, but he's never been a liar. Or a fool. If he's putting himself in a position where he knows we may capture him, then those children exist and they need our help.
Our heavily armed help? Teruko muttered under her breath, turning to carry out his order, and hesitated.
Sir, he's been a fugitive for months. Why would he have information on Admiral Kamichyo?
Ah, I should have said my former commanding officer, G admitted. Paperwork and bureaucracy. The ocean didn't do us in, but the scribes and the rice counters? Some chains of command still haven't been straightened out.
Which suited him just fine. It was good to have breathing space, in case you ran across an order that you really didn't want to obey.
Teruko frowned and braced herself.
The prince is dead, sir.
I know, G said grimly. I want to know by whose hand,
so I can hunt them to the ends of the earth.
Take whatever precautions you feel necessary, Lieutenant. I am going ashore when they land.
Though it didn't seem as if the Bison's riders were in any hurry to do that. Standing on the bridge, G felt another pang of loss for the nimble little Wani, as Suzuran fell further behind. Suzuran was faster than some cruisers, but Wani could have kept up, even if the beast was fresh, for a while.
Sails! Came a lookout's cry.
Water tribe. G opened his spyglass to see the beast hover near one of the wooden ships. It was too far to make out details, besides flashes of blue and brown, but there seemed to be a great deal of arm flailing going on.
Someone doesn't like what they're hearing.
G took a deep breath and judged everything he knew of General Iroh, traitor or not.
Steady course, reduce our speed. I don't want any collisions. Otherwise, follow the bison.
Sir, Lieutenant Sadao protested, this is the Water Tribe fleet. Chief Hakoda's men.
I'm aware of that, Lieutenant, G said levelly. We will proceed, and we will not fire unless fired upon.
He let his gaze sweep the bridge.
We've been offered a truce to assist children of our own nation. I do not intend to be the one who breaks it.
That straightens spines.
Good.
The Avatar gave you hope, my prince. And you gave us purpose, beyond the knowledge of our failures. Because we saw you fail over and over, but you never surrendered.
G had come aboard the Wani with a crew of failures and malcontents. He'd left it, on Admiral Zhao's orders, with a crew that was, well, still eccentric, but give them a job to do and it would be done. Although he had needed to make more than one announcement about proper naval traditions regarding firecrackers, squid ink, spirochetes, and a portmaster's offices. Was it a bad sign that he'd started beginning with, don't get caught? He'd half expected to lose that steel when his crew of 30 were swamped by the scores of newcomers needed for Suzuran. But they'd held, a breakwater against the storm, gentling new waves of angry and indifferent sailors and marines into something, well, more worthy of the navy they served. Even Sadao had calmed down since he'd first come aboard. A little. Though you couldn't tell that by the way the young man was fidgeting now.
Lieutenant, G said formally, would you care to join me on the observation deck?
Yes, sir.
Out in the salt air again, G let himself sigh.
All right, Lieutenant, spit it out.
Sir, this could be a trap. Sato glanced behind them, as if he could see through the command tower's steel to where the messenger hawks were kept. Shouldn't we wait for the rest of the fleet? So young. Lieutenant, G said plainly, springing traps is precisely why we're not with the rest of the fleet. Sir? They could use a cutter to search for the Tangle Mines, but a cutter doesn't have a cruiser's draft. G said plainly, Hakoda may not have waterbenders among his men, but he has excellent divers. We're here to mark clear channels for approach to Ba Sing Se, so future ships go untouched. He smiled wryly. Apparently, my record indicates I have a knack for command in the midst of unpleasant surprises. Sir, Sado's voice was very quiet. Are you saying we're expendable? This is war, Lieutenant. We're all expendable. G regarded the young firebender seriously. I can believe General Iroh might turn traitor to the Fire Lord. Loyalty between brothers is never certain, and from what I've heard, his feelings on the war changed after his son died. But I do not believe he would ever lure his own countrymen into a trap. He paused. Though the Water Tribe might have plans he hasn't guessed at. Yes, sir. Sado looked relieved, if grimly aware of how fast they were closing on the wooden vessels. Thank you for explaining. G smiled briefly. So young. Agni helped me teach him enough to get older. Back to your station. The lookouts were keeping their own watch, but G unfolded his telescope anyway, watching the activity on the two nearest blue-sailed ships. If they want to start a fight, all they have to do is not move. They were moving, grudgingly, sails angling to catch the wind and open a gap for the larger steel hull. Though the warriors on board did not look happy about it. Let's see how this plays out. The sun sank away. G tried not to tense, all too aware that every firebender could feel Agni's strength weakening within them. If the Water Tribe intended to attack? Ahead, the bison was landing. Don't provoke anything, G ordered, as the ship made anchor. Don't allow yourselves to be provoked. This is a useful opportunity to gain intelligence on our enemies, and I don't want it cut short for anything less than legitimate self-defense. You said we're under truce, sir, Helmsman Tobito frowned. I know that, and you know that, G said wryly, but I'm not sure the Water Tribe knows that. That sparked laughter, for the most part. Lieutenant Teruko was all business. The river steamer is ready, sir. G nodded. Lieutenant Sado, you're in command. And let's hope the ship is still in one piece when I get back. Which wasn't quite fair. Sado wasn't that bad. Well, not anymore. The water crossing was short. G kept half an ear on Teruko's quiet orders, detailing who would guard the steamer and who would go ashore. His gaze was fixed forward, on the small, tense crowd of blue-clad warriors awaiting them. Where is he? Where? A smaller, familiar figure in blue pushed to the front, the boy who traveled with the Avatar. Behind him was a somber-looking warrior with blue beads on his right-side braids, and a smaller, stouter, gray-haired firebender, clad in fine green robes of the Earth Kingdom. He's lost weight. G drew in a quiet breath and walked to the very end of the ramp, stopping just before damp sand. It is my understanding that we're here under truce to aid, don't say civilians, the Water Tribe doesn't recognize that status, non-combatants. The boy snorted. The beaded warrior gave him a look of mild paternal disapproval, then glanced back at G. So I've been told, he said levelly.
someone was a little less than clear on exactly how this was supposed to work, or why we should trust any of you after what happened at the North Pole. G felt his men bristle behind him and kept his own temper with an effort. Children, remember the children. They did not know of Zhao's plan, Iroh said gravely. I did not know of it until it was too late. He was a treacherous man, but not a fool. He knew I respected the spirits. He knew I might have been able to stop him. The old general shook his head. He was bent on glory, and that madness nearly doomed us all. Are you kidding me? The boy demanded, shooting an angry glance at Iroh. Do you really expect us to believe Zhao tried to kill the moon spirit, and you weren't all in on it? Admiral Zhao, what? She exclaimed, shocked, hearing that same shock in the rustles of armor behind him. Yet not quite disbelief. He shouldn't have believed it. No true sailor doubted that spirits existed, but that a great spirit could be harmed by human hands? That Zhao would dare to even think about harming it in the first place? The moon went dark, and the very ocean attacked us. You didn't know. The young man looked as if someone had slapped him. But that doesn't make sense. You were attacking us. That is true, Iroh said plainly. But enemies or not, Captain G and his people are sailors, just as you are. And no one who lives and dies by the sea's will, even in the Fire Nation, would attack the moon. He held G's gaze in the deepening twilight and dropped to his knees. I seek the shelter of the dragon's wings. G felt the blood drain from his face. He can't be serious. General, no one uses that anymore. No one's used it for 100 years. Over 200, Iroh admitted. But it is still law, and old customs should be dusted off from time to time. To reassure them they have not been forgotten. It's only still law because a Fire Lord doesn't need to ban it, G exclaimed, too stunned to be exasperated. Every clan has clear lines of loyalty, straight up to the Dragon Throne. The only way any firebending child could claim shelter is if... Words died on his lips. The only way a child could claim shelter until his loyalties were sure is if he broke the line to the Dragon Throne itself. And only one firebender could have done that. He's alive? G whispered. How? I saw the ship. We saw the explosion. Luck and skill, Iroh said gravely. Young Toph is minding the fire in our shelter, but we have all fought a great battle, and I am tired. I will need aid if he is to have a chance. He paused. And my nephew is not the only young one who needs help. If Sokka and Chief Hakoda's men will trust you to aid them. G raised a brow, considering Iroh's words. Sokka's wary and hopeful look. Chief Hakoda's cautious readiness. A firebending child considered family by the Southern Water Tribe. That makes no... Swift as lightning, the answer hit him. The Avatar's bison was here, which meant the Avatar was here, and technically... General? Captain? Iroh regarded him mildly. That's one of the most creative interpretations of regulations I've heard since one of my old chief engineers got caught with a feather boa, a hog monkey, and 6 dancing girls. G shook his head, slowly, almost tempted to smile. Here we go again. Shelter is granted. And what does that mean? Hakoda gave him a measuring look. For you and your men, a truce. G glanced at Iroh as the man stood. Where's the prince? Don't answer that. Sokka jabbed a thumb at the general. Does the truce hold for him? Smart, G frowned. That's not your concern. Unfortunately, it is. Iroh gave him a sympathetic look. Their friend was struck by a lightning bolt, and there are not many with experience treating such injuries. G kept his face calm, even as his heart sped up. Legend said the Avatar was in touch with the spirits, which implied the boy would not be struck by natural lightning. And if that were the case... So I'm afraid Sokka has insisted my nephew and I remain. The general gave the Water Tribe boy a reassuring smile. Do not worry. One does not cut even a storm-thrown tree if it shelters a sapling.
Poetry, Sokka groaned. I thought we left that in Ba Sing Se.
The general is correct, poetry or not, G said dryly. He's the only clan the prince has to protect him. He's as safe as you are. He eyed the older firebender, relieved when the man started heading inland from the shore.
What were you doing in Ba Sing Se? How were you in Ba Sing Se?
He wanted to ask. Everyone knew the Dragon of the West could work miracles on the battlefield, but even he had needed a whole army last time.
Hiding.
Iroh walked briskly towards an odd triangular shelter that seemed to have grown out of the sand itself.
Or we were, until the Avatar crossed paths with certain very unpleasant people, and we were forced to intervene.
Forced to? Sokka sputtered. Hey, we never asked for the jerkbender to show up.
Lieutenant,
G sighed, not turning around.
Yes, sir.
Teruko's voice held just a hint of glee.
Ow!
More surprise than pain. G hid a smirk, wondering exactly how Teruko had managed to smack the boy in the back of the head. She had a positive gift for that.
Hey!
And that was definitely surprise, not pain. You're a girl!
Oh no.
G tried to suppress a wince, knowing exactly what had gotten Teruko dumped into his chain of command.
I,
Teruko said, in a voice that surfaced from the faceplate like magma,
am not a girl. I am not a woman. I am not Missy. I am not your little sweetheart who cuts up seal meat in the igloo kitchen, Ice Boy. I am a Fire Navy Marine.
With a temper that reminded G all too much of a certain banished prince, although he rather doubted Prince Zuko had ever burned down a waterfront tavern on shore leave.
Lieutenant, he said firmly.
Sir. Still angry, but with the grudging respect he'd won from her over the past months of service.
It'll do.
Ducking, G followed Iroh into Sandwalled Shadow. Hot in here. G drew in a smoke-touched breath, eyeing the sandstone hearth aglow with hot coals and heated rocks, some of which moved, suddenly, lifted with a wave of a little girl's hand to nestle under blankets atop a sweating, black-haired young man. Thinner, hair, and restlessly limp, instead of standing proud and straight and angry. If it weren't for the scar, G doubted he would have recognized the boy. My prince, what happened to you? He could only hope the young man lived to tell him.
Captain G, Lieutenant, Iroh said formally. This is Lady Toph Bei Fong, the greatest earthbender I have ever had the fortune to meet. She has been the most honorable opponent and trustworthy in temporary alliance.
G's brows shot up. Seeing the blind eyes, the shelter shaped from sand, the casual way she'd moved blistering hot stones.
An honorable enemy. We might have a chance to hold this truce after all.
Toph, this is Captain G, who was the lieutenant captaining my nephew's ship before the North Pole,
Iroh went on. And his marine lieutenant? Politely, she took off the faceplate.
Teruko, sir.
Oh, you're the one who got Sokka a good one, Toph grinned. I've got to try that. She straightened, more serious.
You left 5 guys out there. You sure none of them are going to start anything?
Teruko's jaw dropped.
How did you...
Hey, blind, not deaf.
Toph touched the sandy wall, frowning.
But you'd better sit on that fire, hot stuff. Right now, Sugar Queen's fretting over Aang. I'd be fretting over there too, but I can't help him. And nobody else here is going to...
She swallowed.
Anyway, you blow up like that around her, she'll fill you full of ice knives before you can yell truce. She hates firebenders. She hates the whole Fire Nation. Big time.
Katara is the Avatar's waterbending teacher and Sokka's sister, Iroh informed them, sitting down by the unconscious prince.
I do not know the whole of her story, though the fact that she is Chief Hakoda's daughter makes much clear. Apparently, a firebender killed her mother. I would advise you to avoid her whenever possible.
He lowered his voice.
How is he?
He keeps shivering. Toph stepped away from the wall, dropping down to feel the ground itself.
And a couple of times, his pulse was all fluttery. Uncle, is Sparky gonna...
Uncle? G thought, stunned. What have you been up to, General?
We will do what we can, Iroh said soberly. He has survived this long. If we can bring him to Sunrise, do not give up hope.
He rested a hand on the young girl's shoulder.
It would be good for Sokka, for you to visit him and Aang. He has risked a great deal, convincing his father to shelter 2 firebenders and offer peace to more.
He's risking it for Aang, not for Sparky. Toph touched the blankets again and visibly screwed up her courage. You need to talk to these guys in private?
That, too, would be helpful, Iroh admitted. Thank you, Toph. Without your help, my nephew would be far closer to the edge.
He took a hit from Ty Lee for me. I ought to owe him a lot. She stood, face fierce. But I don't. And you tell him that, Uncle. You tell him friends don't owe each other.
Slowly, Iroh smiled.
You are welcome any time, whether or not you choose to use the door.
Toph smirked. Works for me.
Clapped her hands and vanished into the sand.
A very refreshing young lady, Iroh observed, hand on the prince's forehead,
withdrew it and reached for the fire with both hands.
I suggest you watch closely, but do not attempt this yourselves without a healer present. The flow of energy can be very dangerous to a firebender trained in the classic techniques.
Classic techniques? G frowned, and knew, by Teruko's carefully blank face, that she was just as puzzled.
There's only one firebending style.
Officially, that is so, but it appears Lady Ursa knew of another.
Smile wry, Iroh gathered up flame. Light shifted, flickering red and yellow, shimmering into a summer dance of gold-flecked green, wrapping the general's hands like sunlight.
General, G said uneasily, what is that? It is a cruel irony, Iroh said quietly. The only firebender I know who has truly mastered this technique is the one who needs its help the most.
He cast a glance at them both.
This flame does not kill. It heals.
G felt his jaw drop, the utter impossibility reeling through his mind. And yet, the general was moving, stroking emerald flame over sweating skin. Even in his fever, the prince leaned into it, breathing less ragged. Iroh worked on him a few moments more, then released the flames with a sigh.
I cannot heal deep injuries, not as my nephew can. And so I believe my best course is to reserve my strength, so I may aid him a little at a time when he falters.
His jaw tightened, fingers curling in quiet fists.
I pray I am making the right choice.
Fire that heals?
Eyes wide, Teruko took off her helmet, as any student would to a master whose wisdom they sought.
The prince can heal?
He is quite good at it. Iroh gave them a quiet, proud smile. Teruko turned to her captain, eyes still wide and wondering.
Sir,
the Fire Nation needs this technique. Desperately, yes. G didn't take his eyes off the general. But it's not that simple, is it?
No, Iroh allowed. No, it is not.
He held G's gaze.
You have already guessed whose loyalty my nephew has broken.
G nodded. And what could have driven the prince to that, when even the Agni Kai and 3 years' fruitless search didn't? Agni, I'm not sure I want to know.
He did so for our people, Iroh said levelly. My nephew and I have seen many things. The ocean's acts at the North Pole are not unique. Other spirits have interfered with our world in more subtle ways, but they may eventually be far more damaging.
He paused, weighing his words.
I do not believe the Fire Nation will win this war. I believe, in the next few months or years, we will lose. Badly. And that loss will unleash horror such as even the murder of the Air Nomads did not wreak upon our world.
We won't lose, Teruko began hotly. Lieutenant, the general was one of our chief strategists for decades. I would like to hear his view on the situation. Accurate or not? G eyed Iroh. So you've chosen to ally with the Avatar's forces? Not the most honorable position, no, but understandable for a clanless man desperate to protect his only allied kin.
No! Iroh slashed a hand across, heat shimmering. The Avatar is surrounded by council that will turn him against our people. Toph may be able to persuade the boy to sense, but if we are here, Katara will stop at nothing to fill his ears with her hate of us. And the airbender listens to her, before all others. No, we will remain only until Prince Zuko is well enough to travel, and we have started Avatar Aang on the road to recovery.
He smiled then, like a cat owl about to pounce on an unwary meadow vole.
Once we are away, my nephew has a plan.
A plan, G said doubtfully.
I believe it is a very good plan, Iroh said judiciously. Though there have been some complications, I did not anticipate.
Princess Azula? G said dryly.
She would be one of them, yes.
Princess Azula? Teruko almost yelped. There are a limited number of people who can bend lightning, G informed her. Fire Lord Ozai has never left the Fire Nation. I doubt the general did it. Zhang Zhang was last reported half a continent away, and given what I do know about lightning, I can't imagine Prince Zuko is capable of it.
No, he is not. Not yet.
Iroh looked grim.
She struck the Avatar down, and then...
He touched the black hair.
Twice she has struck him. The first, months ago, I deflected. This one... He managed the form himself. How, I can barely imagine. Toph says Ty Lee had struck him only minutes before, and while I know my nephew has practiced to dodge chi blocks,
his fists clenched.
This is the second time she has tried to slay him, before my very eyes. There will not be a third.
Sir, Teruko was rigid. The princess is the blood of Fire Lord Sozin, our great hero. She would never be so dishonorable as to attack the crown prince.
Unless that was the will of the Fire Lord, G said heavily,
frightening how fast the solid ground of duty could turn into lake ice underfoot. He wasn't supposed to come back, was he? Slowly, Iroh shook his head.
I know I ask much.
If he lives? G let out a soft breath. You ask everything.
If he lives.
Iroh agreed. G bent his head, striving for calm. Lieutenant Taruko, would you be willing to assist the prince's uncle?
Taruko blinked. Of course, sir.
She eyed the general. Such a serious charge must be investigated, even if it cannot be accepted from a dubious source.
Very wise, Iroh nodded. I am glad to have your assistance.
He lifted a brow.
And you, Captain?
I need to keep both sides from killing each other, G said dryly. We've brought fuel. I'll see it comes to Lieutenant Taruko. He bowed his head. Good luck. Somehow, when G stepped outside the Earthbender's shelter, he wasn't surprised to see Sokka and Chief Hakoda standing just outside of threat range of the Marines.
What's wrong with him? Sokka said bluntly.
Tell a Water Tribe boy of broken loyalties? I don't think so.
It's not your concern, G said levelly.
It is if it's catching.
G blinked. No, he said at last. It's an injury.
Sokka crossed his arms, obviously not buying it.
Aang got hit by Azula and he's not freezing.
How fortunate for him, G said dryly,
lifted his gaze to the chief's. We've brought burn medications. It was the most common injury for young firebenders, after all. May we transfer them to you while we discuss terms? Considering him and the shelter and who knew what else, Hakoda nodded.
This, Sokka said numbly, has been one of the weirdest days of my life. And hanging around Aang? Trust me, that's saying something.
He paced the length of his father's tent in dim lantern light, all too aware of Bato's tolerant smile. Aang was off in the healer's tent with Katara fussing over him. Toph was hanging around her to fidget and shape sand into anything Katara might need, like the solid, dry bed she'd already lifted under Aang's bedroll. And anchored out there in the night was a Fire Navy ship with half a dozen of their marines guarding Iroh and Zuko. Politely. Oh, and one of the faces behind a firebender's skull mask was a girl. Or maybe more than one. How the heck would he know? He never looked. Girls didn't fight. Anybody in the Southern Water Tribe knew that. Except people on Kyoshi Island didn't know it. Mai and Ty Lee and Azula sure didn't. And Toph, oh boy, better not even go there.
Yep, weirdest day ever.
Second thoughts about talking me into it?
Hakoda stood out of the way of his frantic path, a concerned frown on his face.
More like third and fourth, Sokka confessed.
I don't know, Dad. Iroh, well, he seems okay. Toph trusts him, and a lot of the time she's right about people. But all I know about this Captain G guy is that he used to be on Zuko's ship. Hakoda considered that.
But that's not the weird part,
Sokka protested.
So what is the weird part?
Bato chuckled.
How do I say this without sounding crazy?
Sokka thought desperately, swallowed, and looked his dad in the eye.
I'm kind of wondering if maybe Zuko's not the real bad guy.
The Fire Nation Prince?
Bato said in disbelief.
Oh, I knew this was a bad idea.
The same young man, Hakoda pointed out, who apparently put his life on the line for Sokka and the others.
He nodded at his son. Tell me. Sokka waved his hands.
Just tell me something first. I don't know about the Fire Nation, and maybe you do. If Zuko dies and the Fire Lord dies, who gets the job? Who's chief?
That would be Princess Azula,
Hakoda answered.
And that's it? Sokka burst out.
No council of elders, no women thumping their husbands, that the guy they're thinking of picking doesn't listen to his wife, or he does, but she doesn't know enough about the good gathering times and babies and everything. Just bam, that's it?
Crazy, huh? Bato shrugged. That's not the whole story, Hakoda said thoughtfully. According to some of our Earth Kingdom allies, everyone was expecting Fire Lord Azulon to name Prince Iroh as the heir in his will. But Azulon specifically named Ozai. Something to do with Iroh's failure at Ba Sing Se and not being the son who would lead the Fire Nation to further glory. He rolled his eyes. Which apparently means burning more innocent villages down to the ground.
So Toph could be right, Sokka gulped. Oh man, if she's right.
Right about what?
Hakoda raised interested eyebrows. Sokka threw up his hands, about to spell out the whole last frustrating weeks. Wait, think about this. Get it right.
Sokka chewed on his lip and finally sighed.
The first thing you've got to know about Zuko is he doesn't give up. Ever.
Firebenders are determined.
Bato nodded. I'll see your determination and raise you a guy who broke into the middle of the North Pole at night, fought his way past Katara on a full moon, tied up the Avatar, hauled Aang off into a raging blizzard, found shelter in the middle of nowhere, and was still alive when we caught him. Sokka said impatiently. Zuko does not give up. He doesn't quit. He doesn't get bored. For all I know, he doesn't even sleep. You can smack him with a boomerang, freeze him in ice, dump him in the ocean, blast him into a wall hard enough to leave little Zuko-shaped dents. And Aang's done that. Lots of times. He doesn't stop.
Sokka paused to breathe, waving his hands to indicate the sheer scope of Zuko's crazy unstoppableness.
But I did see him stop. Twice. The first time, he chased us into a storm that turned into what the old fisher guy called a typhoon. And I still don't know how he got out of that one. Never saw a storm like that before. I hope I never see it again. He didn't follow us. This is the guy who always chases Aang, and he just kept his ship in the clear spot and watched us fly off.
The Eye, people call it, Hakoda informed him. Storms like that apparently head for the Fire Nation every fall, which is one reason they haven't taken the whole Earth Kingdom. Any supplies they might need from back in the Fire Nation can get delayed. He frowned, serious. We've been on the fringes of a few these past 2 years. Even I wouldn't try to take a ship through one if I had any choice.
Okay. Anything that could stop Dad? Pretty serious weather.
The second time was different. Sokka dragged up scary, half-asleep memories. We hadn't seen him in months, not since the North Pole. We brought him back off the ice. Well, Aang asked us to, so we did. And somewhere between the ocean spirit smashing up the Fire Navy and everything going quiet, he and Iroh... Sokka shrugged. Poof! Gone! Aang and Katara got trained. We headed back south. Found Toph to try Aang in earthbending. And on the way, we ran into 3 really scary Fire Nation girls. He counted them off on his fingers. Mai's this kind of sour-faced knife thrower. I didn't see her at the palace, which kind of makes me worried. Ty Lee, she's this giggly acrobat who hits you so you can't move. She can take people's bending away for hours. You can guess how much that scares Katara. She was in the palace, and that was a close one. And then there's Azula. Sokka whistled. You know, if Toph didn't swear they were family, I couldn't see it. Not looks, it's just something else. Zuko's got a temper, blows up at the drop of a boomerang. Azula, ice cold, when she's setting stuff on fire.
Hakoda nodded, thoughtful.
So you were in the Earth Kingdom.
And the 3 crazy ladies were following us. Sokka agreed. Turns out they were following Appa's fur. Anyway, stuff happened, and the next thing I know, there's six of us backing Azula into a corner. Me, Aang, Toph, Katara, and Zuko and Iroh.
They what?
Bato exclaimed. Why?
Didn't know, didn't care, Sokka admitted. We thought we had her. Then she blasted Iroh and vanished, and
it was bad. I saw people hurt like that at the North Pole, and without a good healer, they would have... He swallowed. Then Zuko's pulling this crazy thing with fire, and Katara's helping him with water, and Iroh made it. And then Zuko says he owes Katara, and goes on to tell us all the nasty details of how his sister is going to hunt us down and hurt us to get to Aang. Figure that out.
Hagoda's brows climbed towards his hair.
He gave you tactical information on your enemy. Sokka's jaw dropped.
He... what?
Wait.
That's what it sounds like, Hakoda said seriously.
You mean Iroh was right? He was trying to help? Because seriously, you couldn't tell that from the yelling and the fire... Words died in Sokka's throat.
Son?
Hakoda asked as the silence stretched.
Idiot!
Sokka smacked himself in the forehead, remembering a nightless day and shattering ice.
I'm an idiot! Zuko's a bender!
We'd noticed, Bato said wryly. Fire Prince, and in the Fire Nation, firebenders have the power.
No, no, you don't get it. Sokka sketched some of Katara's sweeping moves. Things happen when benders get mad. Katara shreds icebergs. Toph slides rocks sideways. Aang blasts roofs off. And Zuko's a firebender.
He reached back to memories of dusty streets, flames flaring and dying, with Iroh's warning words.
He didn't want to kill Aang. He wanted to strangle him.
Bato gave him a wry look.
You sound like there's a difference.
You've never been on the pointy end of one of Aang's every life is precious, enlightened people don't eat meat speeches,
Sokka said practically. Trust me, you'd want to strangle him too. He pictured the street again and barely kept himself from another smack.
Man, I should have taken them with us.
Fire Nation?
Bato sputtered. They were worn out. They were hungry. I swear Zuko looked like a zebra seal after a late breakup.
Sokka shrugged. Iroh said they were fugitives, dressed like Earth Kingdom peasants. Zuko even cut off that stupid ponytail.
Toph told us later, the only thing that kept Zuko from falling over was that he just wouldn't let us see it. And Iroh helped us before. Took down five of Zhao's firebenders like that.
Damn it! I should have hit the jerk on the head and kidnapped them or something.
He caught his hair, Hakoda said carefully.
We've run into a few Fire Nation traitors, he explained at Sokka's look. The topknot's some kind of mark of warrior's pride. Something bad must have happened.
Iroh's a traitor for helping us out? Sokka offered.
I suppose that'd do.
Hakoda nodded.
You were saying this is the second time Zuko stopped chasing you?
Yeah, Sokka agreed, putting that together with some of the other stunts Zuko had pulled.
It's like he's willing to let himself get killed, but not Iroh. And if you say Iroh's the guy who should have been Fire Lord...
He checked everything he remembered again and let out a slow breath.
I know it's crazy, but from what Toph said, what I saw Zuko do to get us out of there, he's trying to protect the Fire Nation.
Sokka eyed his dad.
Okay, why don't you look surprised?
We've had a few discussions with firebenders, Hakoda said frankly, friendly or otherwise. Zuko's hunt for the Avatar was no secret. If he doesn't carry out the Fire Lord's will, he's banished forever.
Which is as good as dead, and Azula gets the throne,
Sokka realized.
Yes, Hakoda said thoughtfully. Even though the Fire Nation doesn't talk to outsiders, I have a feeling not everyone looks forward to that.
So they're not all idiots, Sokka snorted. Zuko wouldn't shoot Aang with lightning. Aang likes everybody, and Zuko knows we hate him. He doesn't want a Water Tribe avatar coming after them.
Wait, something important here.
We'll double the men watching over the avatar, Bato says quietly to Hakoda. Katara's right. We can't afford to allow the firebenders near him.
There, that's it. We're gonna have to, if we have to sit on my sister to do it, Sokka said seriously. Iroh's a powerful bender, but when it comes to healing, he says he's barely gotten started. Zuko's the one who figured it out. In Ba Sing Se, Katara says Iroh was working in a tea shop. Zuko's the one who trained with a healer. For weeks. He winced. I don't know what Katara said about the North Pole, but she only learned from Yugoda a few days. The rest of the time she was with Master Paku. And he may be a master waterbender, but I never saw him heal anybody. He gulped and stood his ground. I know Katara hates Zuko. I know she'd like to dump him in the middle of Chameleon Bay in the middle of his own iceberg. Though, I'm not sure that'd stop him. I know it's crazy, but Zuko wants Aang alive. He spread his hands. I think he's Aang's best chance.
Your friend's best chance is dying, Bato pointed out. I've seen that look on Captain G's face before.
No, Sokka shook his head, determined. Zuko chased us all the way from the South Pole to the North Pole and back. He's not going to die on us.
Hear that, Zuko? Don't die. Aang needs you.
And if that wasn't proof the world was broken,
Sokka didn't know what was.
Let's go over this one more time. One hand gripping Bosco's lead as they walked through green-lit stone. Earth King Kuei rubbed his nose above where his glasses probably pinched.
The Kyoshi warriors were actually Fire Nation spies.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Agent Bone sighed, took his stance, and blasted the tunnel they were in a bit further.
And not just any Fire Nation spies. One of them was actually Fire Princess Azula.
Kuei gave him a narrow glance.
Who my trusted advisor, Long Feng, conspired with to overthrow my throne, take Ba Sing Se for the Fire Nation, and kill the Avatar.
It seemed to make sense at the time, sir,
Bon said apologetically. At least for most of the Dai Li.
But you are not most.
Kuei stopped, weighing him with eyes that looked years older than they had this morning.
No, sir, Bon said humbly. I can't really explain why. Most of my fellow agents, when the princess spoke, they were enthralled. It was, I don't know, as if they finally felt our sacrifices had been recognized, honored.
Sacrifices? Kuei frowned. You serve the greatest city in the world. How is that a sacrifice?
You don't know. You've used our lives for years, and you don't know.
Heart aching, Bon prostrated himself before the Earth King.
Your Majesty, you are the center of spiritual power in Ba Sing Se. Through your right conduct and actions, you purify that power, holding off the evil of the spirit world. Ko, the Face Stealer, is a great darkness. Yet he is but one of those spirits who would seek to destroy our city, if he could.
Still on his knees, Bon lowered himself again.
Yet, for all your efforts, there are many, many people in Ba Sing Se. It became clear centuries ago that the Earth King alone could not ensure our people's safety, and so Avatar Kyoshi created us, to hunt small evils created by malice and bitterness, before they could offer entry to greater darkness. She asked the first of us, and we, in turn, have asked each of our recruits, to give up normal lives. And we do, as we always have. And now, despite our efforts, because of the orders we have carried out for our leader, Our own people hate us. It hurts us.
Orders such as brainwashing innocent civilians.
Kuei's voice was unusually hard. We had to maintain the peace, Bon said quietly. No excuses. This is your king. The war presses closer and closer. The malice of the spirits grows ever stronger. We fought as we knew how, as we were ordered. He swallowed. We always thought you knew.
I didn't, Kuei flung up his hands. Why doesn't anyone tell me these things?
Because that was Longfeng's job, Bon muttered.
Kuei looked away for a moment, glanced back, and stepped closer, frowning.
What do you mean, normal lives?
Bon winced.
We are touched by the spirits, Your Majesty. All of us are.
Of course, Kuei said, puzzled. You're earthbenders.
This is different, Bon sighed. We fight spirits, Your Majesty. We pit our bending and iron and will against creatures not born of flesh. It changes you.
He looked up.
We touch spirits, and they can touch us, far more than ordinary mortals. People notice. They don't know why, but they know we're not right, not safe. Even when we're out of uniform, even when they have no idea what we do.
He glanced down, sad.
Many of us never have a chance to marry, to grow old with our children. When any woman you court can feel you're dangerous.
He sighed again.
Sometimes we're lucky. Those who survive spirit attacks can find themselves just as fey as we are. You'd be amazed how eager proper heads of household are to rid themselves of a spirit-touched daughter.
Are you telling me the Dai Li followed the princess of a nation we're at war with because you're all lonely?
Kuei sputtered. No, Your Majesty. Bon stood. I'm saying that when Longfeng put us under the princess's command, and she said our own people feared us and intended to kill us all, we believed her.
I would never have allowed.
Sir, with all due respect, Bon broke in angrily, you just ordered us to arrest our own leader. You were planning to strip massive forces from Ba Sing Se. We're under siege, in case you hadn't noticed, to launch an attack half a world away, and all of this on the word of a 12-year-old boy.
He took a breath, fighting for calm.
How could any of us know what you wouldn't allow?
That 12-year-old boy is the Avatar, Kuei reproved him.
The very dead Avatar, from the messages I've overheard in the stone.
Bon said pointedly, unless you think he somehow managed to survive a lightning strike.
He dropped his head, regretting the pain on his king's face. I'm sorry, Your Majesty. Whatever you intended to do to the Dai Li, we were meant to serve you and Ba Sing Se. He swallowed. We failed.
Oh, I wouldn't say that yet, a familiar voice stated, amused.
Hope surged. But Bon took a ready stance anyway, as a thin layer of rock crumbled into their tunnel. He'd failed the king once, never again. Shirong.
The older agent gave him a wry smile and bowed to their king.
Your Majesty, it's good to see you in one piece.
He turned back to Bon.
So, are you stumbling this way by accident, or... Agent Quan asked me to take His Majesty somewhere safe. Bon said, faint with relief.
Shirong had been Dai Li almost a decade longer than he had. If anyone knew where to find bolt holes in the city, he would.
He also said, if I found you, Li's plan will have all the help he can hide.
But Li's Fire Nation, Kuei objected. How could Amaya?
The short version?
Shirong looked rueful.
Li was a refugee, like many others, and Healer Amaya has a very kind heart.
And what's the long version? Kuei demanded.
That you should hear from the lady herself, Shirong said thoughtfully. Briefly put, in some ways, Li isn't like any other refugee. Green Eyes narrowed. And if he's managed to get himself killed before we pull this off, I am going to hunt him down in the spirit world and strangle him.
Bon stifled a snicker. You really do like that kid.
He'd make a good partner, Shirong mused. We have a lot in common.
Bon tried not to start. One of the reasons Shirong was a recruiter instead of a regular agent was, well, partners tended to die on him. Not any fault of his. The most suspicious agent knew that. Shirong's spirit wounds just ran too deep. He'd pretty much given up pair work with other Dai Li years ago, unwilling to risk inflicting his bad luck on any other soul. Li's teacher got grabbed by a Haimajiao right out of her own clinic, Bon remembered. I guess Shirong's luck can't make his any worse. A Fire Nation waterbender? Kuei exclaimed in disbelief.
Healer Amaya and Professor Tingcha Wen can explain things better than I can,
Shirong said plainly.
If you'd be willing to come this way, Your Majesty.
He cut himself off, closing his eyes to listen down the tunnel. Bon frowned, reaching for rock.
No, some of the older agents might feel your chi if you reach too far.
Shirong frowned.
I need to get Mushi to explain how that trick of his works. You'll have to close the tunnel. I'm not up for much more than pebbles.
Ouch. Bon strode into stance and sealed the opening behind them with a plug of stone.
And you came out here alone? He murmured. Not quite.
Shirong cleared his throat.
Madam Wen?
A matronly woman stepped into view. Bon's practiced eyes picked up the subtle outlines of knives up her sleeves.
Your Majesty.
She bowed.
Will you honor my family with a meeting?
I'd love to. Kuei smiled.
He has no idea she's armed,
Bon realized, as Bosco walked forward to sniff her curiously.
Why me? Relax, Bon,
Shirong murmured.
Li left us a plan.
I know what happened with his last plan, Bon hissed back.
Ah, but this one's better,
Shirong almost grinned.
No man-eating water spirits.
No! Just one murderous lightning-bending princess. Bon sighed.
Remember your duty.
He'd gotten the king this far. There was no way he'd give up now. What we have here, Captain G stated to the crew assembled in the main hold, is an interesting situation.
Oh, spirits, we're all gonna die.
Sato tried very, very hard not to fidget, and hoped he didn't look too obvious to his far more experienced superior officer. G was calm, correct, and poised, even though they were surrounded by enemy forces, with a known, powerful traitor on the shore. Anybody would be biting their fingernails. Hands down, keep it together, just breathe.
Oh, Agni, why couldn't I just have been a glassmaker?
Though actually, he knew why. A firebender with a constant case of nerves working with the delicate glass meant for noble use. His family had tried their best, but father and grandfather really hadn't needed that third explosion to pack him off to the army.
If he has to blow things up, grandfather had said sourly, Agni let him do it in the Earth Kingdom.
Well, he was supposed to have ended up in the army, but the paperwork had gotten tangled, and then he'd ended up on the wrong recruiter's boat, and then, well, Navy it was. Even if a firebender with a knack for blowing up things nobody thought would blow wasn't exactly the best fit for shipboard life. At least he could swim, which always came in handy, when the latest exasperated officer threw him overboard. Only Captain G hadn't thrown him off the ship yet.
only eyed him at that first fireball with stray coal bits, and quizzed him up one side and down the other about when, where, and why his nerves caught things on fire when he really didn't mean to. He hadn't had nearly as many stray sparks since, which was really, really strange, given prior to this assignment, the only time his nerves seemed to calm down was when someone was shooting at them. Combat, after all, was all about the worst thing that could happen. Happening. Why worry then? The captain cleared his throat. Sato jerked back to strict attention, sweating. I'm certain you've all noticed that since coming aboard this vessel, your mail has been censored, Captain G said candidly. More so than usual, that is. Quiet chuckles whispered in the background, though everyone kept a straight face. You had to observe the proprieties, even if the captain didn't mind. I believe I finally know why. G paused and swept them all with a look. Prince Zuko is alive. He's what? Sato barely heard the mass intake of breath. The prince was dead, assassinated by pirates. Everyone had heard that before the invasion. Which means you can probably blame me for the holes in your mail, G went on. When Admiral Zhao first requested that the Wani's crew abandon the prince for the invasion, well, I suppose I didn't refuse as politely as I should have. The captain's smile was wry. I wouldn't slander the war hero who ordered us to join such a glorious adventure. I'd certainly never suggest the man held the kind of grudge that gets incorrigible, possibly traitorous troublemaker lodged in your personal file. He paused. Although anyone who was there one afternoon a few months back could tell you how Commander Zhao tried to strike Prince Zuko in the back after the commander lost their Agni Kai. The room seemed to freeze. Sato swallowed dryly. That was... You just didn't do that. Though he'd heard that did happen, especially in units where people got ahead and didn't care much how. Not something any of us has to worry about, Sato knew. G hadn't commanded Susuran long, but everyone knew. If you were here, well, you weren't criminal enough to wind up in prison, but no one really wanted you anywhere else. But the captain wants us. It was the only thing that let him face the day sometimes. Captain G didn't ask you to be perfect, just to do the job, one way or another. As long as they could do that. We're the screw-ups, but if we get something done, even if it's just running supplies, we haven't failed our country. Whatever the reason, we seem to be lacking critical information on the military status of certain individuals, G said bluntly. I know Prince Zuko. He's young, impulsive, and as hot-tempered as any firebender I've ever met, but he has always tried to act in the interests of the Fire Nation. If he's traveling with the Dragon of the West, as it seems he is, I intend to wait until he can explain himself. G looked grim. If he can. Iroh has asked for the shelter of dragon's wings. Sato blinked and saw similar confusion on a host of faces. Sir, I don't think I've heard of that. Schools these days, G muttered. It's old, but it's still legal. He swept the crew with a sober gaze. Before all of the great names were unified under the Fire Lord, while we were still at war with ourselves, it was possible for a child to break loyalty and have no one left to protect him. Our custom was that an afflicted child, or surviving kin, could claim shelter and remain unharmed until the crisis passed. He smiled ruefully. Don't think of it as simple compassion. Who shelters you from the storm is your ally, after all. And surviving children were usually quite loyal to those far-sighted enough to protect them. Helmsman Tobito stepped forward. Will the prince make it, sir? Ordinarily, I'd say his chances were slim, G said plainly. But apparently, Prince Zuko and his uncle have uncovered... Well, it sounds crazy, but how many of you have seen Love Amongst the Dragons? Hands shot up across the hold. G nodded. Princess Ryoko's healing fire is not a myth. Sato's jaw dropped. Either the prince will survive, or he will not, G stated. If he doesn't, the truce is over, and we will acquire the Dragon of the West. I don't expect that to be easy, but traitor or not, he is of the royal line, and I'll be damned if I let the water tribes execute him. He snorted. That's our job. Yep, all gonna die, Sato thought morosely. If Prince Zuko lives, things become complicated. Complicated? Sato sputtered. Sir, he added belatedly. Apparently, the Avatar was injured in Ba Sing Se, G informed them. How injured, we don't know, which is why we are going to move very carefully. He shook his head. It seems Chief Hakoda's fleet intends to hold both General Iroh and Prince Zuko until they can apply their own healing skills to the situation. He eyed his crew. I don't approve of allowing our princes to be held hostage. It gives people ideas. A low rumble from the crew. G quelled it with a slight lift of his hand. At this time, Prince Zuko is too fragile to move, so we'll let the situation stand. For now. He smiled slightly. But tomorrow is another day. Sato gulped. Sir, he managed, we don't want to be the first to break a truce. And we won't be. G's voice was iron. The Water Tribe vessels are running light. They're not carrying heavy loads of supplies, meaning the Earth Kingdom will be bringing them assistance soon, if the fleet hasn't sent them a message already, naming exactly who they've caught. He stood, fire glinting in gold eyes. Once the Earth Kingdom learns the Dragon of the West and the Fire Lord's heir are there for the taking, this will no longer be an interesting situation. It will be a rescue. His voice dropped. And Agni have mercy on anyone who gets in our way. Normally, she'd slam open a square door in rock, announcing to one and all that the blind bandit was in the house. This time, no way. Toph parted sandstone like a curtain, rippling it back together behind her before too much hot air could escape. Mini sauna, huh? She kept her voice down as she stepped over to Iroh and Zuko, aware of the firebenders asleep and on watch outside, particularly aware of Teruko, a quietly snoring lump on the floor, resting up so she could spell Iroh later. I think it's helping. His heart feels better. And the moon should rise soon, Iroh spoke just as softly. Sunrise is what he truly needs, but I believe the moon may help. Toph frowned and sat. The moon? Why? Oh, because they do not know yet. The shift of Iroh's weight was a nod towards the other firebenders. The healing was a shock in itself. More might be too much. Ouch, yeah. Sparky hitting someone with a water whip probably would go over about as good as her dropping a tornado in the middle of Ba Sing Se, only with more explosions. Aang's hanging in there, Toph told him. I think Sokka finally got Sugar Queen to fess up she needed sleep. She didn't want to, but their dad promised someone would keep watching Aang. Someone who is not you? Iroh's tone was mild but curious. I checked on him, Toph whispered, throat tight. She was going to be strong. She was. He's breathing. His heart's okay. I can't do anymore, Uncle. I'm the greatest earthbender in the world, and there's just... Ah, Iroh reached out toward her. You know, it has been a very frightening day. I could use a hug. Oh, well, if he needed one... Toph leaned into him and only sniffled a little. He was strong and warm and there. And she didn't miss her parents and their stifling mansion and stupid guards and frilly dresses. She didn't. Scrubbing her eyes, she poked Iroh in the arm. I bet Zuko could use a hug, too. When we were getting Appa, he feels like Aang gets stuff handed to him, and he always gets kicked in the teeth. In a sense, he does. Iroh sighed. We are of Sozin's line, and many of the spirits are very, very angry with us. Oh, Toph said in a very small voice. Lots of hugs? Iroh chuckled. A very good prescription, yes. I have been trying. Toph sighed. Go figure. Zuko should have been born into her family. He got rock-like, the way Aang got breathing. You know, Aang doesn't always have it easy either. Earthbending runs right into all that air in his head. He doesn't know how to work. And maybe I'm not such a great teacher, because it seems like I can't show him how, or why, or, I don't know, something. There is only so much any teacher can do if the student is not ready, Iroh said patiently. Be a good example. Have him watch what you do, and try to explain why. Give it time. We don't have time, Toph shook her head. If Aang doesn't beat Fire Lord Ozai by the end of summer, Roku says... Belatedly, she shut her mouth. She felt Iroh's regard shiver through the ground before he sighed. I would like to know what Avatar Roku said to you. I would like to, Iroh emphasized, but I will not ask. You have kept secrets for my nephew. Honor demands that we not pry into those you keep for others. He stroked his beard. If time is against you... I suggest that you ask supplies of Chief Hakoda, and Captain G, if your friends will allow that, and find some place to focus Aang's attention. He chuckled. I would advise somewhere away from people, a place where there is only earth and sky and water, so he may hone his skills in the hearts of the elements themselves. Toph nodded. Is that what you did for Sparky? In a way... Iroh said thoughtfully, reaching out to touch a restless shoulder. We were forced to fall back on our own resources. In doing so, we had to learn what would work, not just what was expected. And so I finally realized that part of what I was trying to teach Zuko was wrong. Toph frowned, sitting up. But you're the Dragon of the West. And a master of the inner fire, yes. Iroh nodded. But Zuko's skill lies not in the inner fire, but in flames outside of himself. In a sense, his bending is more akin to that of a waterbender, or to yours. Huh, kind of cool. And, whoa. So, if Aang's lousy at the fine stuff, but good at big and flashy, I would say go with it, Iroh agreed. Stilled. Ah, soon now. Toph scrunched up her face, feeling his anticipation in her toes. You're a firebender. How do you know when the moon's coming up?
Practice, Iroh said simply. Moonlight is the sun reflected. It is too frail for most firebenders to draw strength from. But those who know, Agni and La have ever been brother and sister. He humphed. Most firebenders are born in daylight. Children of Agni alone. Zuko, my nephew was born in the depths of the night. I wonder how long the moon has rested her hand on him.
Coughing, Zuko sat up. Sparky! Toph lunged. A trembling hand caught her, allowing her to support him,
even though she felt his confusion.
Who are you?
She almost hugged him. Iroh cleared his throat.
Some confusion is not uncommon with this illness. Nephew, do you remember where we are?
You're not Uncle Kuro.
Chilled and worried, Zuko wasn't letting go, even if he did feel weak as a boiled noodle.
Where's Shidan? I've got to go. It's important.
Coughs cut off his words. His arm slipped free as he tried to right himself.
You are in no condition to go anywhere,
Iroh said firmly, moving in to put a supporting arm around Zuko's shoulder.
Rest and heal.
But they're going to die! Zuko tried to struggle, making no headway against Iroh's grip.
Let me go when Shidan finds me. Well, you better not be here when he does.
Which didn't sound like Sparky at all. Toph grabbed for a flailing arm. He's not fighting like Sparky either. More like a kid? What's wrong with him, Uncle? Who's Shidan?
Shidan of Byakko, I believe,
Iroh said, distracted.
Nephew, please. We will send a messenger hawk. Who is in danger? Where?
A hawk won't get there in time. Shidan can. Please let me go. I have to warn Gyatso.
Gyatso? Toph thought, bewildered.
But that's...
Iroh drew in a sharp breath.
Uncle Kuroyama, he said softly. Of Byakko.
Zuko stiffened for a glare. It was ruined by more coughing.
If you know him, then you know who's going to be landing, looking for me. Let
Kuzan.
There was a sad certainty in Iroh's voice.
You have done all you can. Rest now, please.
Kuzan, Toph repeated, beyond confused. But he was Aang's friend. Zuko gripped her sleeve.
You know Aang?
Desperate hope laced his voice.
Have you seen him?
Okay, this was too weird.
Uncle?
Toph said warily.
Wait, Iroh murmured, almost too low to hear. We do know the young airbender, he went on.
Louder.
Is he missing, then? He is a nomad.
No, he left a note. The elders did something stupid, and he...
Zuko cut himself off.
We've flown everywhere he usually goes. We haven't seen Appa, but it's got to wait. You don't know what's going to happen. The hurricane that wiped out Jotsu last year, it's crazy.
The fire sages blame the air nomads for the storm,
Iroh said grimly,
and Fire Lord Sozin has not spoken against them.
Toph's jaw dropped. They did what? Zuko thinks it's Fire Lord Sozin's reign? Why?
It happened some months before Aang disappeared,
Iroh sighed.
Kuzan, your uncle, left you in our care. You are ill, and I do not think Shidan will be here. Not for some time. The air nomads are great travelers. I am certain Gyatso has heard this ugly talk.
It's not just talk anymore.
There was an awful catch in Zuko's voice. If she touched his cheek, Toph knew her fingers would be wet.
Please, the comet's coming. Someone has to warn them.
You learned of the attack.
Quiet pain in Iroh's voice as he gathered Zuko close.
Kuzan, I am sorry. I am so sorry you came too late.
I didn't.
Zuko's voice was uncertain, hunting for memory.
We were there. Gyatso, he went to talk to Shidan alone. Well, not talk, but then he said go. Aang, somebody he could trust, still out there, still...
He swallowed a sob.
I wanted to stay. I wanted to help.
You did help, Iroh said firmly. You gave your word to Gyatso. And I know it was a comfort to him. You never stopped searching.
They're gone.
I know,
Iroh said softly, easing that broken voice back to sleep.
I know.
Rest now, Kuzan. You have done what you could. Now the task falls to another.
Toph felt Zuko slip back into feverish tossing and let out a breath she'd forgotten she was holding.
Uncle?
She stood up, the better to whisper over Zuko's head. What the heck just happened? Iroh held his peace for a moment, running flame over bare skin, until Zuko sighed. Sat back, thoughtful.
I do not wish Aang to know of this.
Zuko flipping out and thinking he's somebody from 100 years ago? Toph planted her fists on her hips in disbelief. Yeah, Twinkletoes wouldn't like that. But if Zuko's really seeing stuff, then maybe we need to bury some axes and get Sugar Queen in here.
It is not a hallucination, Iroh said heavily. His spirit is injured, his life in danger. Under such circumstances, a soul will dig deep to protect itself, even beyond the strength it could claim from only this life.
Toph thumped onto the floor.
You understand why I do not wish Aang to know.
Toph swallowed hard.
But that's... Kuzan of Byakko lived a long time,
Iroh said levelly.
He promised to search for Aang, and he did, for over 80 years. But he did not survive Azulon's plots. He never saw his own great-grandson born.
He let out a slow breath.
Kuzan's death, Zuko's birth. The timing fits.
Timing? Toph said in disbelief. That's what you got?
I also have reason to believe Kuzan had a dragon friend named Shidan.
Toph's regard of her shimmered in even breaths, still muscles.
And I know, from what my grandfather, Fire Lord Sozin, said in his last years, the destruction of Jutsu did indeed rouse the Fire Nation to hate, and then to murder.
But the nomads wouldn't have sent a storm after anybody, Toph protested. I know Aang. He never would.
Aang is the only airbender either of us have ever known,
Iroh pointed out.
We do not know how many of them were like him. And airbender or not, Aang is the Avatar. It is known in the Fire Nation that an Avatar can create a hurricane, storm and fire and water, all bend to their will when they feel the need.
Not just can, Toph realized, feeling the old, old anger vibrating through Iroh's bones. Somebody did.
When did it happen? Long ago, Iroh said softly. Before the time our children are taught of now. Before the Fire Lord was anyone more than the head of the Fire Sages, serving our people and the Avatar.
He sighed, deliberately turning from that memory.
But I believe you are right. From what history I have found, and Sozin's own words, the hurricane that destroyed Joetsu was purely of nature's doing.
He shook his head.
Yet, human malice did cause the disaster, for there should have been warning that such a storm was on the move, brought by monks visiting the Western Air Temple, and no warning reached the people of Joetsu.
But you know the airbenders wouldn't have... Toph trailed off, feeling Iroh's sad regard.
Uncle, who would they have warned? From what I have been able to discover, the air nomads of that time disliked dealing with my people,
Iroh said levelly.
There were rare exceptions, Kuzan for one, though it would seem he had his own flying friend to bring him to the temples. But Byakko is not near Joetsu. It is more likely word would have been brought to Fire Lord Sozin himself.
Toph swallowed, glad she was sitting down.
You think the Fire Lord... My grandfather was a very driven man,
Iroh said sadly.
To rid himself of the Avatar's interference in our nation's hearts and remake the world as he wished? Yes, I believe he would sacrifice even his own people.
He winced.
And if he allowed ours to die, how much more would he be willing to lie to destroy Aang's? Toph shivered. But I have no proof, Iroh sighed. Only what I have studied of a people a century murdered, and the words of a man now dead and ashes. A man our history paints as the greatest of heroes, an example for all time. I have nothing I could lay before our people, or even give to my nephew, who wanted so badly for his father to be worthy of his love. He paused, even though he might listen now. Yeah, Toph said wryly. If he remembers what century it is in the morning. She shivered again. If that's how the war really got started, that's scary. It frightens me as well. Yet, it also gives me hope. For if what I believe is true, then, well, I do not know how to stop the war. But if Aang can stop it, I believe Zuko and I may help prevent it from starting again. Yeah? Toph rested her hands on her knees, listening hard. I would prefer to keep certain details private while we are among Chief Hakoda's men, Iroh said plainly. But I think disaster has racked us all, again and again, because people depended too much on the Avatar to teach them of other nations, and so too few of us knew each other's ways to be able to turn aside wounded pride when insult was not truly intended. He paused. Zuko has a plan that may allow some of the earth and fire to build lives together. If it succeeds, then those most lethal of weapons, hate and distrust, may finally be broken. Toph rolled those words around in her head. Sounds kind of long-term. The war did not start when Sozin attacked the air temples, and it will not end when Fire Lord Ozai is defeated, Iroh said gravely. The true war started with lies and hearts twisted by bitterness, and it will only end when those of us whose spirits have been wounded reach out to heal each other, and ourselves. He sighed. As I hope my nephew is healing, even now. Something about the way he'd said that. Zuko isn't hurt the same way Aang is he? Iroh was silent. He's not, Toph stated, sure now. Because you think Sparky could get better at Dawn, and Aang won't. She swallowed. What's really wrong with him, Uncle? It is private, Iroh said at last. We do not speak of it to those outside the Fire Nation. Even the Avatar might not be taught of it, were he not of our people. He paused. I can tell you that it is Zuko's spirit that is injured, more than his body. But I will not say more. The reaction from most of other nations is not well-intentioned towards us. She scowled at him. I'm not most, Uncle. I know, Iroh nodded. But if you knew, you might show that by how you react to Lieutenant Teruko and the others. And it would be far more helpful to Aang if Captain G's men trust my nephew. Toph frowned, poking that from all angles. Okay, she held up a warning finger. But you said the war got so bad because people didn't get other nations, so maybe you better think about that, too. Iroh chuckled ruefully. You are right, and I will. But not while we have spears and firebenders glaring at one another. Point. And he hadn't asked her not to tell Aang there was a secret, which she would, later, about Sparky, and what Iroh thought had happened. Toph yawned, trying to cover it. He'll be okay in the morning? I will wake you if anything changes. Which wasn't a yes, Toph knew, settling down in some of Iroh's spare blankets. But Uncle felt like hope. It was enough. And now, Princess, comes the moment I double-cross you.
Azula blinked, trying to get blurry double images of a steel ceiling to coalesce into one. Steel above her, steel caught under her, steel walls to every side. One, probably one, with a door and a barred window in it, and Long Feng's smirking face.
"Bend all you like," the Dai Li leader went on, almost genial. "There's nothing in there to burn besides you, and no one would be foolish enough to unleash lightning inside a steel box."
Trapped, as she'd intended to have Zuko trapped. How annoying. "Is this how the Dai Li treat their allies?" Azula said silkily.
"Oh, please. We both know you dreamed of doing this to me first." He shook his head in mock sorrow. "You and the Avatar are surprisingly alike. Both revered, both powerful. Both such lost little children playing grown-up games."
Azula hid her smirk.
"You have no idea what kind of games I play, but you'll learn."
"I wonder if the Fire Nation hates you just as much as they hate him."
Azula sat bolt upright and regretted it. Not the sudden spike of nausea. Whatever had happened after she'd struck down the Avatar, something had hit her hard. No, moving meant she'd reacted, which told Long Feng he'd found a weakness.
"Oh, don't think we don't receive intelligence reports, even in the heart of Ba Sing Se."
Long Feng smirked at her.
"You're quite the little monster, aren't you? Just the sort of creature Avatar Kyoshi meant to wipe out centuries ago. Such a shame she had to kill so many innocents as well."
He bent nearly to the grate.
"Though, you know the real shame is, she didn't finish the job."
"Please, you're boring me," Azula yawned. "My own brother knew I was a monster. My own mother. If I didn't care what the Crown Prince of the Fire Nation thought, what on earth makes you think I'll care about you?"
She narrowed her eyes, ignoring the stab of pain from her throbbing head.
"You, who came from nothing, who was born with nothing. So you fought and schemed and connived your way to power.
Like Zuko, my poor fool of a brother. But all of it still means nothing. True power, the divine right to rule, is something you're born with."
Long Feng's smile slipped away, and something darker than hate glittered in his eyes.
"Your brother must have hit you harder than you think, princess. You seem to have forgotten which side of the door you're on."
"Oh, I forget nothing."
"Zuko? Little Zuzu managed to... Someone will die for that." "You don't really think I'll stay in here, do you? It's so boring."
"Get used to being bored,"
Long Feng said dryly, and motioned behind him.
"Or you'll see what the Earth Kingdom does to your allies."
A Dai Li stone fist lifted a familiar braided head, and Tai Li beamed at her. "Azula, there you are!"
"No!"
Azula clenched her teeth on a hiss of rage. "No, she's mine! How dare you touch what's mine!" The green-clad girl twisted, feet lashing out to strike something that scraped fast as a mosquito hot through the slot under the door. A lacquered wooden tray. Gold eyes burning, Azula lunged, one foot slamming down to stand the tray on edge. The other pushed her off deadly metal, balancing on black wood for one critical instant. Lightning blazed. Strand of hair out of place, Azula stepped through the smoking doorway, gaze searching the blurred double image of the corridor like a storm-dazed hawk. Door down, one very crispy body underneath it. A gray-faced Dai Li agent crumpled to one side, stone gloves in pieces around him as if his bending could no longer. Tai Li wrapped arms around her in a vine-clingy hug.
You're okay. I was so worried.
Azula blinked, throbbing brain, adding up how easily Ty Lee had turned the tables on two skilled earthbenders.
You let them capture you?
Of course. It was the easiest way to find you. Grinning, the acrobat stepped back.
Oh, I know you didn't really need help, but Mai warned me Long Feng would try something nasty, and you know how Mai worries. And I know you like it when she's just a little less gloomy. So, all done. Take the city. Your dad's going to be so proud.
Yes, Azula said evenly. He is. One more loose end here. Agent Quan, isn't it? Dark eyes looked up at her, rage and grief clear as daylight.
Oh, don't look like that. I'm not going to kill you. Not yet.
Azula smirked.
I should. You're not loyal to me, and I don't think you ever will be. Which is interesting.
She studied the man, reaching out with inner fire. You have a killer instinct, pure as any firebender. You should feel my power and bow before me. Yet you won't. Why is that?
Quan stared back at her, swallowing grief.
I am loyal to the Earth King and the city of Ba Sing Se.
Only one lion there. Interesting.
Earth King's missing,
Ty Lee whispered to her. And the bear. Azula smiled cruelly.
Your king is gone. Your city is in my hands. And the rest of your men are loyal to me. Why shouldn't I give you to the firebenders for target practice? Or worse, ship you out to a sea barge until the lack of earth drives you mad.
He twitched at that. Good. But from somewhere, Quan drew strength. And that was not so good.
The Dai Li protect our city from the evils of the spirit world. The agent said hoarsely, do as you will with me. But if you take us from our duties, even the might of your armies will not survive the cataclysm.
The spirit world?
The man was as cracked as Uncle.
Still, he actually seemed to believe it.
Well, Azula mused, sharp nails tapping on her robe. You might be thinking of betraying me, but you haven't actually done it.
She glanced deliberately at lightning-seared flesh.
I'm sure you can give me assurances of your good behavior.
She shrugged, corridor whiting out for a moment with pain.
You have until we get back to tell me what they are.
Head held high, she stalked down the corridor. Ty Lee was a skip and a jump behind.
You sure you're okay?
The acrobat whispered.
That's an awful lump. Right now, there are two of you,
Azula said honestly. Two Ty Lees. Now, there was a frightening thought.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. Both Ty Lees had their stubborn look on.
We need to find somewhere you can sit down. Ooh, the throne room. You can sit up there and give orders and look all regal and impressive, and I can scare all the servants into pampering you until you feel better.
The blurred acrobat cartwheeled, grinning. Not half bad as a plan, that. Especially given more details of the fight we're filtering in. The waterbender she'd baited. The avatar down. Zuzu, a traitor.
Zuko is a traitor.
It thrilled through her, the sure knowledge of the choice her fool brother had finally made, and the consequences.
Hey, Ty Lee smiled. You had a happy thought.
Yes, Azula purred, pain suddenly worth it.
A very happy thought. The throne is mine. Now and forever.